Time now in our pregame show to visit with Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Winning in week one can be a challenge in a normal year, Brent, much less a COVID year. What'd you take away from just how special it is to play and win in week one?
You know, it's probably the nicest I've ever been to officials in my life. I think I'll start out with that. And since you're an official in the room here, it's kind of, it was one of those deals. I was just so happy. I was just happy to be out there. You know, there's a lot of stress leading up to the game, and just took a deep breath and just enjoy the moment. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in, you know, everything else besides the games. Like sometimes as a coach, I actually enjoyed, you know, the lead up to the game, and then the game was a stress. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And to kind of put in perspective, the last year and a half not having games, so enjoy it. You never know what can happen in life, and just take it day by day. So it was pretty special to get back out there, and I think our kids handled the adversity and what we, you know, the mission of going down there and playing well in their first game.
Did anything come up last week that you didn't think of?
Well, I'm just doing my receipts from the game. So yeah, we had a few things that with new coaches and players and everybody else, just oversight or ops, but we try to do a good job. We actually went through run-throughs two or three times of a game. We even walked down to the stadium for Pete's sake and line guys up. Just, yeah, things that you take for granted because you're normally in a routine of doing it. So, you know, some of it's new players, some of it's new coaches, some of it's just, I forgot. I don't know how many times I've asked this week, like, what did we do on a Thursday again? What did we do? You know, pre-practice, we always do our, you know, Thursday competitions, kind of a, we used to call it Robbie time when Coach Allrich was here, and just Coach Tesh always did it too, just doing a game, and we forgot. We had to bust out the cartwheels and do that before we got, you know, done with practice. So yeah, there's a little bit of a challenge. Maybe I'm just getting old. I hit, you know, in my 40s now, and now I'm forgetting stuff. So, but the layoff, yeah, for everybody was long, and it was just fun to get back out there, man. It was a lot of fun.
In a good weather week, do you want 310 yards passing and 85 yards on the ground? Is that how much confidence you have in Brandon Ault? Is that just what Sioux Falls was giving you?
It's a little bit of a combination. We're good at skill. Like, we have very good receivers. We have very good quarterback play. Our line protects well. And our, you know, running backs are good receivers as well. That wasn't necessarily probably the game plan. I think Sioux Falls is a big physical team inside. Took some of our stuff away. We got running backs. I mean, Sage hasn't played for a while. Mikhail obviously played in 19. Sage hasn't taken a snap since 18. So those guys just got to be a little bit more patient. We had some stuff in the run game, which we can clean up. But no, I don't want to be that skewed. I'd rather have it be, you know, 150, 180 on the ground. And if we throw for 300, great still. But we have to be able to run the ball better.
Your second touchdown drive started at the 9. First play was an incompletion. Second play was a run for nothing. Third play to midfield. Fourth play into the end zone. How did those two plays flip the game?
Yeah, I think it did exactly what you said, was flip it. I think Andrew Manueli made a great play over the shoulder catch in traffic. Kid that's deceptive speed, maybe not the quickest off the line, but he's just a savvy kid. Kind of reminds me of Jordan Oskoyak a little bit back in the day, kind of a converted tight end, but made a great play in getting down the field, hurried back up, and if all else fails, throw it to Malik, I guess, because that was a good pitch and catch by those two. Kid's dynamic. He's a nightmare for your opponent, so kind of jump-started the process on offense and got some, probably just a little bit of continuity, and guys got some belief that they could go out and put a drive together.
You scored again on your next drive. Unbelievable hands play by Del Duncan Busby. Who is your best hands guy?
Boy, I probably get yelled at for this. I think Brandon Bolio is. I mean, he's got some phenomenal hands. Obviously, Del showcased those. Duffy has great hands too. It's probably hard to pick just one. Obviously, leaving Malik out there is probably hard to do too. But they all do. They have a pretty good rhythm with Ault as well, which is nice to see. You didn't know how that was going to play out with you know, a layoff and all that. But I think the offense is just getting going. I think they felt like they left some points on the board too, or off the board. So I think hopefully, they say the biggest gains are between week one and two. So hopefully offense and defense, we can make those strides.
More with Coach Bolte when we come back. Our pregame continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Brent Bolte. On to the defense now. Sioux Falls' first 8 drives, coach. fumble, punt, 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 turnover on downs, punt, punt, fumble. Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
No, I didn't look at that. You know, I'm out there, you know, scrambling when we're out on defense, and Coach Bish is probably as well. But, you know, we did a nice job. We probably didn't do as good a job on first downs as we wanted, but the product of getting off the field is really extraordinary, and that's great to kind of get things going that way. I thought just in general, Sioux Falls did a lot, like with trade shift motions, then I thought our kids handled that pretty well. Obviously, they had a lot of stuff in for us, or maybe that's just their offensive scheme, but we knew that going in, and we had a lot of practice for it. And the kids responded well, especially the first drive with a short punt. They basically got the ball in the red zone, coming away with the turnover there, and then just started to get more and more confident. And we played physical. We played physical up front. We didn't have any busts in the back half. So for a first game, that's really what you want, win the turnover margin and not give up any huge plays.
Their next three drives all scored points, though. What changed?
I think a little bit came back to still field position was tough. They made one nice drive after we had the kickoff. They put a 75-yarder together where we just didn't execute as much as we had in the previous downs or previous possessions. They really started running the ball. They exposed a couple things that we didn't get fixed right away, and they were able to run some weak side stuff, which hurt us. And then, obviously, they got the short field, and I think it was a one-play drive where they threw a backside post and scored on us. So, and field position hurt us there, and we were put in some tough spots. But overall, you know, make them drive the field, make them earn everything, and hopefully 16 points can be the marker for the year. We'll win a lot of games that way.
Cole Sorby led you in tackles with 8, had a sack and a half a tackle for a loss. He had 2 tackles in 6 games as a freshman. What has he shown you in practice that last Thursday isn't necessarily going to be a fluke?
Yeah, he's just Cole is just a sound, smart football player. He's going to be in the right spot. He's able to, you know, understand what the offenses are trying to do, and he's physical through tackling. So he's just kind of your prototypical BSU linebacker in that sense, and is really, I give him a lot of credit. He's gotten bigger, faster, stronger, and just kind of a byproduct of a developmental program. I think that's really speaks volume for Cole putting in the time.
Mason Hofer averaged 30 yards per punt. It's not bad when you consider the first one went 4 yards. I think we all remember his first kick, game-winning field goal, was his first ever timeout on the field. Kickers need to have short memories. What is it about him and his makeup that he can be a really successful kicker for you?
Yeah, Mason has a very unique mindset, and I think a lot of kickers do. He's just kind of a happy-go-lucky kid, and if he stays out of his own way, he's fine. Like, don't think, just kick, punt, just go do your deal. He's never really punted in college, ever. I don't even know if he punted in high school, to be honest with you. He's been working on this for a while. Then he came back. He had time in there to do it, but I think he just plays better when he's one step and getting the ball off. So he responded because, yeah, we could have went the other way with the punting, and it was tough. It was rainy, and he handled the snaps. I thought Aaron Castillo did a nice job, you know, snapping the whole day. The operations of special teams were good. Obviously, we need to improve on the average. That's probably the biggest key.
Hard to imagine a Wayne State game without Coach McLaughlin on their sidelines. 15 years down there at Wayne. He was a longtime high school coach in Nebraska. What's his legacy in the NSIC in your mind?
You know, it's just his legacy is his personality. You know, and Wayne was always a physical team. They played hard. You knew you're going to be in a dogfight playing them. He's just a genuinely good dude. I mean, he's charismatic. He loves the program. He loves football. He loves the players. So that was one of the things that I've always enjoyed being around him for the years. It was fun being in the coaches' meetings because, you know, he was a legend. He was around forever. He's kind of one of the deans of the NSIC. So I'll miss him. I really enjoyed just that camaraderie with him. But, you know, with Wayne, you knew you're going to be in for a scrappy dogfight, which is no different with, you know, John coming back and bringing Logan Masters, who's their offensive coordinator, and his son still coaching the defense. So not a lot's going to change. It's just more Wayne State guys coming back that have a lot of pride in their program.
This is the 20th anniversary of September 11th. I don't know that any of your players were even in kindergarten when that happened. Sports was a big part of the country's recovery from that. It's also been a big part of the recovery from COVID. Do your players comprehend what it's going to mean to your fans to be there at the chat this weekend?
You know, we haven't really talked a lot about it yet. Obviously, just starting the work week here. We'll have our opportunity tonight that's on the agenda to kind of speak about what is going on and what, and you're right, it does parallel back very, you know, oddly with what's going on with COVID. I still remember I've been at BSU for a long time. I was up in the John Glass Fieldhouse. We pulled it up on the old TV up there and just couldn't believe what was going on. Kind of, yeah, I can't believe what's going on now with COVID either still, but there's a lot of memories, and we're obviously doing the first responder game this weekend where, you know, we're going to honor those along with Ken Traxler this weekend. His family will be the honorary coaches. Ken, obviously a long time chemistry professor, BSU, you know, supporter for all sports, obviously assistant football coach as well. So Megan, his sister, will be up along with his family. So that'd be special along with the first responders. And they do a lot for us. And I think you got to keep that in mind with everything that's going on, you know, with COVID, the people that work in the hospitals, all these individuals putting so much more time and effort back in to allow us to play a game, you know, which is kind of keeps it in perspective. So I want to thank all those individuals that have done that. And obviously going back all the way to 9/11, all the, you know, first responders that went through all that as well.
Best of luck.
Appreciate it.
Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers, starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.